wise, I welcome you too. And so open your hearts tonight to receive from the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Open your hearts to receive from the Word of God. I want to tell you something. God knows everything there is to know about us. He knows what our needs are. Amen. And He knows what He wants us to do for Him. Praise God. Because we have to understand that we are laborers together with Him. So, yes, He blesses us. He blesses our lives. But you know what? We are to bless Him back. Amen. By loving Him and serving Him and doing His will in our lives. So it's just not a one-way thing, but we should seek to please Him with our lives as well. So praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time that we have together. Thank You, Father, for everyone that has gathered together this evening, Father, around Your Word. I pray that their ears will be open to hear, not only those in the sanctuary, but those is listening by way of the internet as well. I pray that their ears are open to hear and their hearts are open to receive Your Word. And Father, we already know that Your Word will not return, but it will accomplish Your will in our lives as we receive it in faith and act on it. So we thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord Jesus. For the past few weeks, about 4 weeks now, I guess, we've been ministering on the call of God for our lives personally, and that's very, very important that we understand that we have a purpose and that God has called us for such a time as this. That's the reason. Let me tell you something. The very time that we're living in right now, this particular time, this Wednesday night, God set us here for this time. And you've heard me say this many times. You know, all of us could have been born back in the 1800s or the 1700s. You know, it's possible if it had been God's will, we could have been born back during the time when Jesus was on the earth. But we weren't. We're here now. Amen. We're not born in 2050, 2075. We're here right now. And so that's God's doing. And it is magnificent. Glory to God. Amen. God does all things well. I said, God does all things well. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I think if I remember correctly, last week, I spoke to you about hope from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, and that our hope is the anchor of our soul. And it brings stability into our lives, you know, and hope comes with information. It's information that brings hope. Accurate information, truth. Jesus said, and you know this, Jesus said that we would know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Amen, will make us free, or it will set us free. But here's the thing about it. What we have to understand is, it's the truth that we know that sets us free. Amen. Now, you know, in our Bibles, there's 66 books in this Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. It's the Word of God. But guess what? It's right here. It's right here in the book, but not everybody's free. Not everybody's free. But those that have read this book and heard the Word of God preached and spoken into their lives and received it by faith and walked in it, those are the ones that are the ones that were set free because of the truth that they heard and the truth that they know. And here's the thing about hope. Listen to this. And that's what the Word of God does for us. Hope shows us a picture of what we can be or what we can become. Think about that for a moment. Hope shows us a picture of what we can be and what we can become. And it begins when we first hear the word of the gospel, when we were first told that Jesus loves us and that he came and died for us, he rose again for us, and we were told that if we would receive him as our Lord and Savior, that we would be born again and have eternal life. You know what? That brought hope. That didn't it? That brought hope into our lives. Amen. So hope shows us a picture of what we can accomplish. Man may tell you you will never amount to anything. Man may tell you you will never be nothing. But when you get this on the inside of you, you learn that, hey, wait a minute. They said I will never amount to nothing. But now I know that through Jesus Christ, I can accomplish something in life. Amen. You're still with me? I know you like this one. Hope comes when we find out that with God, all things are possible. Let me read that one to you again. Hope comes when we find out that with God, all things are possible. Let's go to the scriptures on that. Matter of fact, put it on the screen for me. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. First chapter of Luke, verse 37. I want us to see it. Hallelujah. Read that. On three. One, two, three. Say it again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said glory to God. See, that's a picture of what we can accomplish through God. And we have a promise from the Word of God, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Put that on the screen for me as well. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, I want you to say this. If you're watching on the live stream, you say it as well. Say this: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it out loud.
I can do all things through Christ.
Let me, we didn't start together. Some of you in Chesterfield and the rest of you in Ruby. So let on three. One, two, three. Hallelujah. There is hope for the hopeless. Hallelujah. And here's the good thing about this. Jesus told us. Matter of fact, let's go there to the book of Romans. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. Let me say this. You should have Romans 8 chapter. I'll tell you what verse in a moment. When God called me into the ministry, I knew he had revealed to me some things that he wanted me to do. And I knew that what he was calling me to do was bigger than me. In other words, I couldn't do it by myself. Amen. I couldn't do it by myself. But then I learned that I could carry out the call of God on my life, first of all, because he called me, and second of all, his word says I can do all things through Christ. And by the way, if it goes through Christ, it's good. If it goes through Christ, it's of God. Amen. Now, sometimes folk get out there trying to do their own thing, not praying about anything. They just want to do it, their thing. Sometimes you run into some big-time problems and run into mountains that you can't move by faith. But I tell you what, when it's through Christ Jesus, it doesn't matter how tall that mountain is. If you will stay in faith, it will move, because let me tell you something, it's the will of God that you travel that road, and so there is no mountain tall enough to stop you. If God told me I can do it, then I can do it. Why argue with God? And here's the good thing now. You have Romans 8. Drop down to verse 26. It says, well, let me back up. I'll just back up to verse 25. It says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now remember, I told you, hope is the happy anticipation of good. You're expecting something good to happen. We remember the other day we talked about the late Oral Roberts, how he used to tell us that something good's going to happen to you. I used to love to hear him say that, and I said, amen, because I tell you what, we were, you know, things weren't going real good for us, especially financially. It's good to have somebody to speak the word of God in your life when things are tough, isn't it? Because him speaking those words brought hope that God's going to do this. God's going to help me. God's going to walk me through this. God's going to bring me out. So verse 25, Romans chapter 8, it says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now, listen to this. This is where we're going. Likewise, the Spirit. Notice that that's a capital S there, so that's referring to the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our what? But I can't do that. I know God wants me to do it, but I can't do it. Well, we have the Holy Spirit to help us in our weaknesses. Jesus himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. And one meaning of that word infirmity is our weakness or our lack of ability. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look at this. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for who? The saints, according to what? According to the will of God. According to the will of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Glory be to God. Isn't that good? But here's what we must do. When we hear the word that brings hope into our lives, then we must do what Hebrews chapter 11, 1 tells us to do. Put that on the screen for me, please. Hebrews 11, 1. Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope by itself is not enough. Faith must be applied. Amen. Faith must be applied. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen. We find out what the will of God is for our lives, and that brings hope. But what we are hoping for have not materialized yet. But we have our faith. And our faith is the substance of things that we hope for, because when it materializes, we don't need faith for it anymore. We have it. That's the reason the Bible tells us we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. If we walking by faith, that means we're going somewhere by faith. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Let me say that again. If we are, look at me. I'm walking across here. That means I'm going somewhere. I'm coming from this side of the platform, and I'm walking over here close to these guys. If you're walking, you're going somewhere. If you're walking by faith, you're going somewhere. And your faith is your substance that you are going to get to the place that God promised you. You still here? Hallelujah. Now, Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. While you're turning there, let me read Hebrews 11:1 again. You go to Isaiah chapter 53. But it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, look at verse 1. The prophet Isaiah asks us a question. And the question is this: who has believed our report? You see that? Who has believed our report? Do you believe the gospel that's preached? Do you believe what you see in the Word of God? So he asked, who has believed our report? And then listen to what it says next in verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? In other words, who, through their faith, and by their faith have experienced the power of God working. You know, the arm is symbolic of strength. You know, especially guys, some ladies too, do too. You know, they work out and, you know, they. Any folks in here lift weights? Don't lie now. Okay, we got a few weightlifters in here. And what you're doing, you're working on these muscles and plus other muscles, but the arm is symbolic of strength. And so the Word of God asks, to whom has the arm of the Lord, or the strength of the Lord, been revealed? In other words, when we believe his report, the arm of the Lord goes into action for us, and there is no power that can stop God. Are y'all with me on this? Hallelujah. We have the promise that brings us hope. And then we apply our faith to what we hope for. And then the strength of God and the power of God goes into action on our behalf. Isaiah asked the question, who believed the report? Many times in Jesus' ministry, while he was here on the earth, he would ask this question, do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe I can do this? Brothers and sisters, we are limited. We limit ourselves, and put it that way, by our lack of hope and our lack of faith We don't know what's available to us. Sometimes even when we find out what's available to us, we don't apply faith. We don't give God anything to work with. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And many times the devil will use offense to keep us from receiving what God has for us. Remember the blind man that came to Jesus? And Jesus spit, made a mud pie, put on his eyes. Now, what if that guy had said, whoa, whoa, you're not putting that on my eyes? Would he have got his healing? Nope. But he put it on his eyes and he told him, go wash. First he asked him, what do you see? And he said, well, I see men look like trees. Go again. So this is what I want you, and I'm going to finish this up this evening. But seek God's purpose for your life, because he has one. Amen. He has one. Seek his purpose for your life, because it's going to be a blessing to you and it's going to bring glory to God. And I want to give you one other scripture reference, and then I'm done. I believe this will bless you. The 103rd Psalm, go there, Psalm 103. And I encourage you to read this Psalm often. Listen to what it says, beginning at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. And forget not all, not some, but all. And by the way, let me finish reading it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Benefits. A benefit is something that blesses your life. You listening to me? It brings hope. And then he proceeds to tell us about the benefits of God, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals. You see this word all, it's just kind of popping up there often, isn't it? Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Let me tell you something. That's what hinders us sometimes, because we think God's out to get us when God is saying, I want to bless your life. God's going to get you, God's going to get you, God's going to get you. No, God's trying to bless your life. Yeah, people get themselves in trouble is because of the fact that they walk in disobedience. Amen. If you handle a poisonous snake, guess what's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to get bit. Especially if you don't know what you're doing. Verse 4 again, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. That's blessing us even when we don't deserve it. God just has mercy on us. Isn't that right? Who satisfies your mouth with what? Say what? You sure you're reading that right? With good things, yes. Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that what? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. I want to read one more. One more verse, verse 6. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Now there's that word all again. Hallelujah. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a good God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. Help us, Father, to walk in your perfect will for our lives. And regardless of what we face in life, we know that you have already made us more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You never told us we wouldn't have challenges. But you did tell us we've been made more than conquerors. Hallelujah. You told us, Lord, that greater is he that lives on the inside of us than he that is in the world. We thank you for that, Father. And we thank you that we can fulfill your call and your purpose for us being here in this earth at this particular time. We're here for your glory. We thank you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, if you're watching us on the internet in some capacity, and you have not received Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior, I extend an invitation to you right now to receive him as your Lord and Savior. He came to this earth. He died on the cross for you so that you could be saved, to bring hope into your life, so that you can fulfill his purpose for being here. and have eternal life with him throughout all eternity. If that's you, I want to pray this prayer with you, and I want to ask you to repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the only begotten Son of the living God. And I receive you into my heart as my Lord and as my Savior. Right now, I receive you by faith. Forgive me for my sins. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart and saving me. And I confess with my mouth, and I believe with my heart, that I am a child of God. I am born again. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and setting me free. If you pray that prayer, please contact us and let us know so that we can rejoice with you. Amen. We want to hear from you. We want to hear from you. Praise God. Praise God. Also, if you're sick in your body, I want to pray for you as well. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to touch them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, bringing healing and health to them right now for your glory.